of the HDC board to order. I would like the minutes to reflect that there is a quorum, and I would like approval of the minutes of the meeting of the members held on September 26, 1919. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on September 26th? Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. At this point, I would like to call on Eric Enderlin to give the President's report.
Thank you, Commissioner and Chair. In the spirit of the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, I'd like to start, of course, by thanking the HDC staff for their incredible efforts to ensure that more New Yorkers have a safe, high-quality home that they can afford. This dedicated team continues to finance the creation and preservation of vital, affordable housing under the Mayor's Housing New York Plan, and is now ramping up to help in the preservation of the city's public housing stock through our partnership with the New York City Housing Authority. There is no more pressing housing issue in the city of New York than the need to rehabilitate the homes of New Yorkers residing in NYCHA buildings across the city and to restore these buildings so they remain a public resource for generations to come. HDC has been called upon by the city to bring its expertise in finance, lending, compliance, and asset management to assist NYCHA in this critical effort, and we could not be prouder to do so. The NYCHA PAC program, which stands for Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, will harness effective partnerships and stable funding streams to renovate 62,000 apartments serving roughly 142,000 NYCHA residents. Our common goal is to improve quality of life for these individuals and families while ensuring tenant rights and protections are in place and public control of this precious resource is maintained. HDC serves as the financing arm for the PACT plan, structuring the financing of each transaction and maintaining responsibility for the long-term asset management of the properties. To go off script for a second, I'd just like to note that there are folks in this room, it's not lost on us, there are folks in this room and at this table who have worked for at least a generation to ensure that HDC and the city now has the wherewithal to engage in this partnership, and I want to acknowledge everyone in this room, and there are a number of you I know who've worked for years to do this work. Which brings me to a very happy segue. In recognizing the importance of this work, we are pleased to welcome NYCHA Chair and CEO Greg Russ to this meeting to share his thoughts on this partnership. Greg, I give it to you.
Eric, thank you, and Louise, and thank you very much for inviting me here today. This is, it's historic because what is happening now is just tremendously powerful in terms of thinking about the entire portfolio of 174,000 units, all of which need the fullness of investment that properties their age would require. And it's interesting to look at the history of public housing. If you go all the way back to its creation, a lot of which actually was foreshadowed here in New York, even before the 37 Housing Act was passed. It's interesting to look at that model because it did not fully envision capital reinvestment for real estate as it aged. It envisioned kind of a break-even platform where, you know, you'd be doing your repairs out of your operating budget on a good day. So to be in partnership here with HDC has just been a great experience. Many of you know I've worked in a lot of other cities. None, I think, so collaboratively as what we have here today. And it's incredibly powerful and appropriate to acknowledge Eric's leadership, the team, and their thinking that they have brought to what is a really difficult problem. So earlier today, we had the Housing Authority Board meeting. And we passed our resolution at the end of that meeting that will marry up with the material you have here today. And in some ways, I think it's like, hey, this is, we've got two agencies pretty much on the same mission. And it's just amazing, I think, when we can make it work this way. And I want to say thank you for that. Thank you for the effort here. And lastly, we have another set of investments down, and there's plenty more to do. So, and we'll look forward to working with you and deeply appreciate the actions you're going to take today and the work that you've been doing with us. So I want to say thank you.
Thank you very much. I thought of actually rolling up my sleeves under the jacket just to model Greg.
I have to go, when I go back, it's like 20 degrees colder.
Okay.
So I'm in between, and like, you know, a day like today is just a luxury. So one of somebody in Minneapolis says, well, what's that like? I said, well, I took the job because I wanted a more tropical climate. and in fact, that is true occasionally. So,
well, we worked together for the last couple months quite a bit, and the approach and the style and the stick-to-itiveness and the rolled up the sleeves is really, it shows, and we look forward to moving forward on this. So,
thank you.
Chair, I'd like to return to today's agenda, which will include some of these items. First, Susanna Lipsight, HDC General Counsel, will present for your approval the corporation's recommendation of counsel for a new bond resolution to help finance the rehabilitation and repositioning of the city's public housing stock. The next action will be presented by Hannah Blitzer, our Executive Director of Public Housing Finance and Lending Strategies at HDC, for approval of a resolution to establish the new housing impact bond resolution, along with its very first transaction for financing the preservation of NYCHA's public housing, as just mentioned. Next, HDC's development team, led by Executive Vice President for Development Anthony Richardson, will present for your approval a resolution relating to HDC open resolution bonds to support the creation of affordable multifamily rental housing. As always, HDC is working to stretch limited resources to support a strong pipeline of projects, and Anthony will describe some of the ways his team is doing exactly that. Following that discussion, there will be a presentation of a preservation loan for your approval. And then next, we will hear from Senior Vice President and Treasurer Kathy Bauman for a presentation of the corporation's 2020 operating budget. And finally, Rich Froelich will present the property disposition report. We have a very full agenda, as you can tell, but I'd like to note that item 7, regarding a planned recommendation and approval of underwriters for HDC debt issuance, will not be presented today. If there are no questions or comments, I'll turn to Louise to proceed with today's important agenda.
Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Greg, for being here.
Thank you.
I've spent a few years in city government, and under this administration, the collaboration between several agencies, including NYCHA, has been stronger than I've ever seen it before, and I think I speak for all of us here in that we're committed to your mission, and we're very happy today that we're going to be able to help progress that mission in this way.
So thank you.
Thank you. At this point, pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act, and for the purposes of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HDC's Finance Committee. I will now call on Susanna Lipsight, our General Counsel, to present to us the for approval the Corporation Council for Housing Impact Bond Resolution.
Thank you. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood, and Ora, Carrington, and Sutcliffe as counsel to the Corporation for bond issuances under the NYCHA Housing Impact Bond Resolution. Later in this meeting, the creation of the NYCHA Housing Impact Bond Resolution and the inaugural issuances will be presented for your approval. In September 2018, the corporation issued a request for proposals for recommendations from law firms for the creation of a parity bond resolution for the NYCHA Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, PACT, initiative. Upon receipt of 3 responses, the corporation assembled a review committee, which reviewed and analyzed the written responses and selected 2 firms to recommend to the members for approval to alternate as bond counsel and disclosure counsel to the corporation in connection with the corporation's financings under the NYCHA Housing Impact Bond Resolution. Hawkins has been the corporation's bond counsel for decades, providing invaluable advice and expertise with respect to standalone transactions and the creation and ongoing operations of the corporation's highly successful open resolution. As part of the enormous undertaking of determining how to finance the PACT initiative in the most cost-effective way, the corporation decided to cast out to a larger group of bond counsel to solicit innovative ideas for structuring financings for the NYCHA program. After evaluating the three respondents using the five criteria outlined in your memo, the committee recommended selecting Hawkins and Orrick to serve as bond counsel and disclosure counsel in a rotating manner. Both Hawkins and Orrick, Orrick as underwriter's counsel, were instrumental in structuring the corporation's open resolution, and both firms made insightful suggestions for the NYCHA resolution based on their years of experience working with the open resolution. Hawkins also drew on its role as bond counsel to the corporation for its first series of HUD public housing capital fund financings to accurately describe challenges facing NYCHA and critical constraints and risk factors for the corporation to consider. Orrick's RFP response demonstrated a similar familiarity with the corporation's financings. Additionally, the firm demonstrated a depth of knowledge in 501c3 and governmental purpose bond financings that the committee found useful for financing NYCHA PACT over time because of concerns with the limited availability of new money and recycled volume cap. On the first NYCHA PACT transaction, the one being presented today, it is expected that Hawkins will serve as bond counsel and Orrick will serve as disclosure counsel. A disclosure counsel represents the bond issuer in drafting the offering document that is distributed to bond investors. Historically, underwriter's counsel has drafted the corporation's offering documents. The committee felt the corporation would be well served using the model of alternating bond counsel and disclosure counsel to launch and sustain this new large-scale endeavor. This structure will ensure that the open resolution can continue to receive expert focus and attention. The members are requested to approve the recommendation of the committee to select Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood, and Orrick, Harrington, and Sutcliffe as alternating bond counsel and disclosure counsel, with such alternation to be determined by staff to represent the corporation in bond issuances under the NYCHA Housing Impact Bond Resolution. Are there questions?
Yes.
Madam Chairman, I have a question and concern respecting one word in that resolution, and the word is alternating. I believe an ethical conflict of interest could result by reason of that event. In that, just to put it in shorthand terms, it is the function of disclosure counsel to say all, to tell all, to be as transparent as ethically and appropriately can be done. Not necessarily the function of a bond counsel. And therefore, by alternating them, one may be disclosing something the other did not want to have disclosed for whatever proper reason there is. I would urge that we delete the word alternating for the moment, pending an opinion from either the Association of the Bar of the City of New York or the Corporation Council.
Well, thank you for raising that. We have discussed whether it was appropriate to have alternating bond counsel and disclosure counsel. We know it's a model that other issuers use. We also felt that disclosure counsel's role is to make sure that the corporation's disclosure is accurate. And we felt that that is also what bond counsel's interest is. So this is something that we discussed and did feel comfortable with the alternation.
My point being that I think you need an opinion.
So we have an opinion of our general counsel, and I'm hearing that you would like an additional opinion from outside counsel.
Yeah, I think you need it from either the Corporation Council or Conflict of Interest Board, but some entity that says you're not going to have a basic conflict of interest here, an ethical conflict of interest. And I don't believe for a moment that either Hawkins or Orrick have in mind any such potentiality. I do not in any way wish to impugn their integrity, which is of the highest magnitude.
So
I was just going to say, the Conflict of Interest Board may not be appropriate.
I think you're right.
That they really do look
at, right,
as sort of more on the staff and other levels. I mean,
we can seek opinion
counsel
from Corp Counsel.
Could we just approve with that condition, though?
I will do that subject to an opinion. In the event the opinion is the negative,
we
then you will
back
delete the word,
yeah,
alternating.
Okay. So
does that work for you?
We will do that.
Okay.
So do I have a motion to approve the Corporation's Council for the Housing Impact Bond Resolution as described in the memo, with the caveat that we will seek an opinion from the New York City Law Department, and should that opinion be negative, then we will rescind the board.
As always, you're entirely correct.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Did you, was it second?
There was no second.
You got a motion and second, I think.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next, I'd like to call on Hannah Blitzer to present to us approval for an authorizing resolution relating to Housing Impact Bonds 2019 Series A and B for the NYCHA Pact Brooklyn Bundle 2.
Thank you. Please note, a black line of the memo has been provided to reflect some minor edits. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the adoption of the NYCHA Housing Impact Bond Resolution and the origination of two permanent loans in an amount not to exceed $412,500,000 for the Brooklyn Bundle 2 development. Brooklyn Bundle 2 is part of the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, or PACT, strategy outlined in the 2018 NYCHA 2.0 strategic plan, which describes how the city will reinvest and reposition public housing through Section 8 conversions. Under PACT, housing operating subsidies will shift to Section 8 voucher subsidy from Section 9 public housing subsidies, enabling borrowing that will finance significant rehabilitation. Apartments will be converted to Section 8 through various tools of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, including the Rental Assistance Demonstration, or RAD, Section 18 of the Housing Act of 1937, and 2 CFR Part 200. Upon conversion to Section 8, property management will transfer to a third-party management company with extensive experience managing scattered site developments. NYCHA will maintain control and decision rights by retaining fee ownership of the land and by acting as a member of the borrowing entities. NYCHA will also guarantee certain resident protections, and residents will pay no more than 30% of their income towards rent, with the balance covered by Section 8. As part of the city initiative, the corporation has been tasked with arranging for the lending necessary to finance the significant rehabilitation at the properties. The corporation expects to combine its access to the capital markets with its expertise in deal structuring, lending, compliance, and asset management to benefit the PACT program. The corporation's oversight as a lender and asset manager will further bolster the public control of these assets, while at the same time leveraging private resources necessary to rehabilitate and preserve the housing. The Housing Impact Bond Resolution is expected to be a critical tool in the corporation's support of the PACT program. It is expected that the Impact Resolution will be exclusively used to finance loans for the benefit of NYCHA and NYCHA properties. The Impact Resolution builds upon the experience and success of the Open Resolution. After consultation with rating agencies and our partner underwriters, the Impact Resolution has been modernized to include updates which the corporation believes will provide extra flexibility. In addition, over time, like the Open Resolution, the Impact Resolution may generate surplus revenue. In the event this happens, the surplus revenue is expected to be used to support NYCHA and the PACT program. Subject to HUD and Freddie Mac approval, the Housing Impact Bond proceeds are expected to fund two mortgage loans not to exceed $412,500,000. The mortgage loans will be comprised of the Freddie Mac Enhanced Mortgage Loan, representing 90% of the mortgage loans, and the HDC Enhanced Mortgage Loan, representing 10% of the mortgage loan. The Freddie Mac Enhanced Mortgage is expected to be secured by supplemental security in the form of a standby credit enhancement agreement issued by Freddie Mac. The HDC Enhanced Mortgage Loan will be subordinate and is expected to be secured by supplemental security in the form of an HDC loan funding agreement to be provided by the corporation that will be a general obligation of the corporation. The loans are expected to have a 30-year term and will be interest only for 2 years, after which they will amortize over a 40-year amortization schedule with a blended interest rate of 4.68%. The proceeds of the loans will be used for the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent mortgage for a 2,625-unit multifamily rental housing development known as Brooklyn Bundle 2, consisting of 39 buildings located at 9 New York City Housing Authority-owned properties in the Williamsburg, Bedford-Stuyvesant, Cobble Hill, and Weeksville neighborhoods of Brooklyn. The 9 component developments that comprise Brooklyn Bundle 2 will all convert to Section 8 operating subsidy through a variety of conversion methods mentioned previously. The combined development will include approximately 15 long-term project-based Section 8 housing assistance payment contracts. As a requirement of the HAP contract, residential units will be reserved for households earning no more than 50% of the area median income. In December 2018, NYCHA issued a request for proposal for a co-developer partner for the project, and in April 2019, a joint committee of NYCHA and HDC selected Brooklyn Housing Preservation Experience LLC, a joint venture between the Arker Companies, Omni New York, DeBar Development, and Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation. It is expected that there will be 2 newly formed beneficial leasehold owners who will each be a co-borrower. The 2 borrowers are needed to facilitate the contribution of Opportunity Zone equity to the portion of the project that is located within a qualified Opportunity Zone. Each borrowing entity will split ownership between Brooklyn Housing Preservation Experience LLC as the managing member and NYCHA as the non-managing member. In the partnership agreement, Brooklyn Housing Preservation Experience LLC will provide day-to-day decision-making. NYCHA will receive various financial benefits, including an acquisition payment, development fee, and cash flow. NYCHA will continue to hold fee title to the development with the borrower as lessee under a 99-year ground lease. Upon conversion, the property management duties will be divided among affiliates of Omni and Arker per an agreement between the 2 entities acceptable to the corporation and to NYCHA. The general contractor of the rehabilitation work will be a joint venture between an affiliate of Omni and an affiliate of Arker. The proposed rehabilitation work consists of an extensive rehabilitation program that is expected to bring significant quality of life improvements to residents, promote energy efficiency, and enhance the development's physical appearance. The comprehensive scope will address the development's 20-year capital needs, as required by HUD, including, among other items, upgraded kitchens and baths, mechanical and electrical upgrades, lead testing and abatement, and roof and facade repair. The tenant-in-place rehabilitation period is anticipated to be 24 months. At closing, HDC will fund 2 mortgage loans in an amount not expected to exceed $412,500,000. The loans will be secured by the leasehold mortgage and will be subordinate to the annual payments of the senior unenhanced non-accelerating or SUN loan in an amount not to exceed $135,850,000. The SUN loan is non-accelerating, with only the annual amount due in senior position, and will be evidenced by a separate mortgage for each of the 40 years in the term. The SUN loan will not require external credit enhancement because of its high debt service coverage and particularly low repayment risk. The SUN loan is described in detail in the open resolution memorandum and will be presented for your approval later in this meeting. The risks and fees associated with the development are described in greater detail in the memo before you. And now I will open for any questions.
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
To Zai again. First, let me thank the President, Eric Englin, over the course of recent past. I've propounded to him the questions and concerns I've had with this. His answers have been complete, total, forthcoming, and complete transparency, and I thank him for it. I have a number of concerns here. Let me deal with them one by one. Let me deal first with the economics. As I understand this, the proposal is that the bonds, some $41 million, will be used to provide for what is called the HDC management or extended portion of the mortgage. Am I correct? And in the event that there is a default on that, we are liable. Am I correct?
Yes.
And so the first question that I put to you, and you answered satisfactorily to me, but I want the record complete, was to what extent Are the funds of HDC jeopardized in any way should there be a default?
So that is a question of risk share. I don't know if you want to quantify it, Susanna or Rich, if you want to talk about that, but that dollar amount?
Well, I mean, it is, yes. If there was to be a total loss, or the 10% is covered by HDC. So anything above that gets covered by Freddie Mac. So we are protected in that a certain amount is, you know, we've offset the risk. We've taken the top loss position because that's where obviously the greatest risk is, but because of the nature of the HUD contract, the Section 8 that will cover the properties, we believe that that risk is smaller and something that is manageable, and the corporation has the financial resources to be able to take on that level of risk.
With that high coverage that we talked about.
Yes.
And so that the record is clear, it's my understanding that that's approximately 125%, am I right?
The coverage, yes, 125.
That's what I wanted in the record.
Got it.
Number two, I have a significant problem with the assets. The assets that are pledged, as I understand it, are the revenues coming from the Housing Authority, and what else?
Susanna, if you want to talk about
this. Well, the HDC has a leasehold mortgage interest, and there are Section 8 contracts that will be revenues to the mortgagor, and that's how they will pay their debt service.
Well, if the Housing Authority does not have enough money to exist and pay its own bills for a period of many years.
Well, it's not the Housing Authority that is
the borrower.
The borrower. No, the revenues I'm focused on.
But the revenues are specific to the project that are going to be pursuant to the HUD contract plus what the residents pay. So it's a combination of that. But our borrower is not NYCHA. Mark, NYCHA is a part of the borrower, but it is really this new development entity that Hannah described.
Where are the revenues, and what are the revenues estimated to equal? Are they estimated to equal or exceed the amount of the indebtedness?
Yes, once again, it goes back to the coverage point. So revenues at the project are expected to exceed costs at a coverage of 125, which is where the loan is sized, so that there should be sufficient revenue from the combination of tenant payments and the Section 8 payments.
I'd like to turn to the next issue, which is the what was termed in the statement a moment ago, the general property management. How were they selected?
They were selected through a competitive bid process.
No, that's not entirely accurate in the sense we did not bid it out. No entity has bid it out. They were selected in connection with an RFP on another subject unrelated to this project.
No,
is that
it
correct?
Was a combined RFP where management was a part of the answer. So
but
the,
was
the
it,
overall
who put
RFP?
Out the bid?
NYCHA. Well, we were a joint committee, but NYCHA put out the
covering this project.
Yes.
When?
Last January.
And was that bid one that specifically focused on this project?
Yes.
To be clear, it's a competitive RFP, the teams of which included the property management.
I understand that, but the actual property manager themselves were not separately bid, were they?
That is correct. They were as part of that RFP
team.
They're
part of the team.
I understand, but the question is, were they separately bid?
Got it.
And my concern here is real. My concern here is I foresee a very serious problem in terms of the validity of that process.
I think
it will be challenged.
There have been separate RFPs done previously, and they've gone through the process. So it is a combined RFP, and in truth, HUD doesn't even require that. It is a choice that NYCHA has done. We've actually modified the process for the next round that we're now working on.
As we understand, it's consistent with NYCHA's process. But
so the question, and I think you have the answer, is that is the RFP process with the combined bidding process sufficient for us to determine that the property management is the best property management at the best price as part of that package?
and complying with the New York State laws respecting bidding, competitive bidding. You know I've spent a number of years dealing with that.
I understand that, but I believe that what was bid here was the development team and with its overall proposal and plan, which includes the replacement of management. In the end, the replacement of management is part of that secondary process of the developer team picking that, because at that point, it's no longer a public property in the same way that it has been. It's different. It's become this process where NYCHA retains an interest, but it is, and it's shifted to Section 8, and it's different than the Section 9 program. So we understand what your point is and the like, but we have, and we've asked specifically the staff at NYCHA to review this.
I'd like an opinion from the Corporation Council that it is legally valid. I don't believe it is.
So we can do, I mean, we can again do that as a, you know, a condition if that's a concern. I heard your concern earlier about this. We rounded up and talked about it quite a bit. We understood NYCHA's process. We do understand on a going forward basis, there might be a process at NYCHA that parses some of the management separately from the RFP teams. That's a possibility over time. We certainly hear your concern on this. We have thought about it and don't think it's that much of a concern, but at the same time, I would propose the same solution to the extent that people are open to it, that we will...
I want to be able to vote for this.
I hear you, and I appreciate that.
So for clarification and for the record, can you just please restate the question that we...
My
that
concern
you want an opinion
is whether
on.
The process leading to the selection of the property managers was a proper and lawful bidding process as required by both state and local law.
Thank you all.
Wait. Oh, 2 minutes.
Sorry.
You just check it with Suzanne. Suzanne, are you okay with this?
Well, I mean,
at this point, okay. Yes. Okay.
We need to do this.
Believe me, I've been around this course for 50 years, and I can see problems. I don't want to have them. I have two questions which are not legalistic, okay? The first one is, to what extent, if any, will the designees consult with or communicate with the community boards before they act? You've heard that question in a variety of other contexts.
Yeah, that has been done, that the community boards have been noticed directly, and there has been a significant amount, in addition to the community boards, which I know is always a concern of yours, there has been a lot of resident consultation that has been done by the NYCHA team at the individual properties as well. So
and
that's
and with the development team as well.
Yeah, with the development team as well.
Fair enough. And the final one, if I may.
Sure.
And hopefully you will tell me it's premature. To what extent, if any, will the management group have authority to either dispose of, encumber, or otherwise treat of any portion of the development rights on property in the Housing Authority projects that are not occupied by the buildings? In other words, the so-called parkland, the free land, where they sit, where they park, and the like.
They would have zero ability to do that without an approval. That's
what we said. On that, I rest. Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the board? Do I have a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to how...
I think I need to turn it over to Susanna to present the authorizing resolutions.
Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of the Housing Impact Bonds Bond Resolution and the supplemental resolutions, the issuance of the bonds, and the other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are asked to authorize the use of the corporation's general obligation pledge in the form of the HDC loan funding agreement in an amount not to exceed $41,250,000 to pay the principal of the HDC enhanced mortgage loan, plus any interest due on the HDC enhanced mortgage loan at a per annum interest rate not to exceed 10%, without limit as to the number of interest payments that may be advanced under the HDC loan funding agreement, and the execution by the president or any authorized officer of the corporation of any and all documents necessary to enter into the HDC loan funding agreement.
Thank you, Susanna. Do I have a motion to approve the authorizing resolution relating to housing impact bonds 2019 Series A and B for the NYCHA Pact Brooklyn Bundle 2, subject to an opinion of the Corporation Council concerning the bid process for property management?
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
I know that you have a lot to do, so we won't keep you for the rest of this meeting.
Thank you. I'm going to hang on to some of these. I'll put them under the vest.
If you would slide down here, we're going to ask someone to take a photo real quick.
Okay.
Harry, I'm going to join in.
Okay. I'll take a couple here. Let me do one in portrait mode. That looks great. Perfect.
Thank you. You're going to help the NYCHA chair.
By the way, thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I only have one concern, which I talked to Eric about a couple of days ago, that was the interest coverage. That was my main concern.
Well, at this point, I'd like to call on Anthony Richardson and Ruth Moreira to present the next agenda item, which is approval of an authorizing resolution relating to multifamily housing revenue bonds 2019 Series J, K, and L, and 2020 Series C, 2020 Series D, 2023 Series A, and approval of mortgage loans.
Thank you. Please note that a black line of the memorandum and authorizing resolution has been presented to the members. I'm pleased to recommend that the members approve the issuance of the corporation's multifamily housing revenue bonds, 2019 Series J, K, and L, 2020 Series C and D, and 2023 Series A, in an amount not expected to exceed $1,573,410,000. Together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves and available funds in the open resolution, the bonds are expected to finance the construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing of certain projects and other activities as described in your memorandum. Interest on all the aforementioned bonds, except 2019 Series K, is expected to be exempt from federal, state, and local income tax. And such bonds will qualify as tax-exempt private activity bonds with a combination of an allocation of new private activity bond volume cap an allocation of recycle volume cap in accordance with the Housing Economic Recovery Act of 2008, and the refunding of certain outstanding bonds or obligations of the corporation. Interest on the 2019 Series K bonds is not expected to be exempt from federal income tax, but is expected to be exempt from New York State and local income tax. I'm also pleased to recommend that the members authorize the corporation to, one, originate a senior unenhanced non-accelerating mortgage loan or SUN loan, and two, use its unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution in a combined amount not expected to exceed $135,850,000 to finance the rehabilitation of 9 housing authority developments as part of the PAC strategy. If approved, the corporation expects to fund a portion of this mortgage loan with proceeds from the 2019 Series K bonds and the remaining portion with available funds of the corporation. Approval of this resolution will authorize the 292nd through 307th supplemental resolutions under the corporation's open resolution. From time to time, the members authorize the issuance of a convertible option bond, or COB, to preserve tax-exempt recycle volume cap in excess of amounts currently needed by the corporation. The corporation has, in the past, contributed excess amounts of recycle volume cap to the New York State Housing Finance Agency, or HFA. Recently, HFA was able to provide excess amounts of recycle volume cap to the corporation. To facilitate the recycle volume cap transfer, the corporation issued a COB on September 29, 2019, which was privately placed with the Bank of America Such issuance of a COB to preserve recycled bonds has been previously authorized by the members. Due to the time constraints on the use of recycled volume cap and the unpredictable nature of recycled volume cap availability from HFA and or other bond issuing entities, the members are being asked to approve 10 supplemental resolutions for the issuance of COBs from time to time in one or more series, which will grant the corporation the necessary flexibility to receive and or preserve any excess recycled volume cap of the corporation and or HFA as it becomes available pursuant to what we are calling prepayment shelf COBs. Any issuance would either be underwritten or privately placed by an underwriter or its affiliate, who is on a then-current member-approved list of bond underwriters. Also, please note that the corporation has been consistent in its attempts to incorporate strategies that allow us to support the mayor's housing plan in an atmosphere of constrained resources. Financing methods that promote the efficient use of private activity volume cap have been vital to that end. While not a primary operating procedure, the corporation has forward committed volume cap for several transactions because the total amount needed significantly exceeds the amount available to us at this time. In most cases, it is expected that the remaining volume cap needed will be allocated to each development by June 2020. In some cases where developments include sufficient enough of other resources, the remaining volume cap will be allocated at some point after June 2020. Although partial allocation is being made now, we are seeking your approval for the total amount needed for each development. Additionally, when the remaining volume cap is issued, it will be allocated to the respective developments for which we are seeking approval now, and such developments will be denoted as such in the appropriate charts and attachments. As such, the current chart that lists developments that use private activity bond volume cap may contain developments previously approved by the members, and this may be the case for some time, for some future meetings as well. We hope to eliminate forward commitment as a common practice within the next year. In connection with the issuance of the 2020 Series D bonds, the members are asked to authorize the origination of a supplemental mortgage loan for the Jamaica Crossing Mid-Rise development. Senior Vice President for Development, Ruth Moreira, will provide further information about this, as well as the proposed uses of the 2019 Series J, 2020 Series D, and 2023 Series A bonds, as well as the 2019 Series K and L, and 2020 Series C in that order. Ruth.
Thank you, Anthony. On December 2, 2016, the members approved the issuance of 2016 Series I bonds for the purpose of providing construction and permitting financing in an amount of $48.6 million for the Jamaica Crossing Mid-Rise Development, a 130-unit development located in Queens. The corporation closed the Jamaica Crossing Mid-Rise loan on December 22, 2016. Since then, the project has experienced delays in construction, causing costs in excess of what was initially budgeted. To account for the additional construction costs, the corporation now expects to originate one co-senior taxable mortgage loan in an amount not to exceed $10 million. Upon origination, the corporation will sell a 100% participation interest in a supplemental loan to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, pursuant to a participation agreement. It is expected that the borrower will repay the supplemental loan, which will be due upon conversion. Also, the corporation expects to issue a portion of 2020 Series D bonds to refund a portion of the 2016 Series I bonds to restructure the existing senior loan, which will decrease the mandatory prepayment due at conversion and increase the permanent loan amount. For more information on the supplemental loan and restructured existing loan for the Jamaica Crossing Mid-Rise Development, please see Attachment 1. 2019 Series J, 2020 Series D, and 2023 Series A bonds. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2019 Series J, 2020 Series D, and 2023 Series A bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance mortgage loans for up to 12 developments. In the aggregate, the developments would create or preserve approximately 4,285 rental homes in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens. The corporation intends to fund all or a portion of the short-term portion of certain mortgage loans with its unrestricted reserves. When the borrower makes a mandatory prepayment upon the project's completion, such prepayment will be available for either taxable or tax-exempt relending by the corporation to other affordable housing developments. Any future lending for a development that has not been previously approved
by the members will be presented for approval to the members prior to the making of such loan. The corporation intends to sell a 100% participation in one, a co-senior mortgage loan for the Hunters Point South F&G development, and two, a co-senior mortgage loan for the Jamaica 2 development, together the co-senior construction participation loans, to a bank upon origination. The co-senior construction participation loans will be structured as drawdown loans to reduce the negative arbitrage that would otherwise be incurred under the conventional fully funded open resolution bond structure. Upon construction completion and conversion to a permanent loan, the corporation will repurchase all or a portion of the respective bank's participation interest by refinancing the applicable co-senior construction participation loan into a permanent loan using a combination of the corporation's unrestricted reserves, available funds of the open resolution, including funds made available from prepayments as described above, and or through the issuance of 2023 Series A bonds. Each permanent loan will then be pledged to the open resolution. As stated previously, due to the limited availability of new private activity bond volume cap, certain developments may receive a portion of required financing proceeds through the issuance of 2020 Series D bonds in 2020 and 2021. It is expected that most of the projects being financed with the bonds will also incorporate income averaging. For project-specific information, please see attachments 3-9 of the open resolution memorandum. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the 2020 Series D bonds will also be used to finance or to reimburse the corporation for amounts previously advanced from its unrestricted reserves to finance a portion of subordinate loans for certain of the developments described in Attachment 3 of the Open Resolution Memorandum. The members have previously approved the subordinate loans for a portion of the developments described in Attachment 13. The members are now being asked to approve the use of the 2020 Series D bond proceeds for the financing of or reimbursement for the loans described in Attachment 13, for which the members have previously approved the making of the loan. The issuance of the 2020 Series D bonds for this purpose will allow for the replenishment of the corporation's reserves, which can then be relent to new developments in furtherance of the corporation's commitment to the Mayor's Housing New York Plan, 2019 Series K. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2019 Series K bonds, together with the corporation's unrestricted reserves, will be used to finance mortgage loans for up to three developments, including the Sun Loan for the NYCHA Pact Brooklyn Bundle 2 project, which was previously described by Hannah. In the aggregate, the developments would preserve approximately 3,016 rental homes in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. The corporation currently owns a mortgage loan for one of the developments, a Mitchellama development, pursuant to a purchase and sale agreement with the City of New York. The corporation now expects to enter into a new or amended purchase and sale agreement with the City of New York relating to a restructured subordinate mortgage loan. The portion of the open resolution bonds associated with the Mitchellama reinvestment loan is expected to be designated Mitchellama restructuring bonds pursuant to the corporation's longstanding preservation program. For project-specific information, please see attachments 10-12 of the open resolution memorandum. 2019 Series L bonds. It is anticipated that a portion of the 2019 Series L bonds will be issued as convertible option bonds, or COBs, to preserve tax-exempt recycled volume cap in excess of the amount currently needed by the corporation. If issued, the proceeds of the 2019 Series L1 bonds are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments, all of which are listed in Attachment 13, and which will all meet the low-income set-aside required to issue private activity tax-exempt bonds. The mortgage loans for these developments are expected to close in 2020, at which point the 2019 Series L bonds are expected to be refunded or remarketed to match the terms of the applicable mortgage loans. Most of the developments listed will not be funded from the 2019 Series L1 bond proceeds, but all will be eligible for such financing. It is anticipated that the remaining portion of the 2019 Series L bonds will be issued from time to time under not more than 10 supplemental resolutions to preserve tax-exempt recycled volume cap in excess of the amounts currently needed by the corporation or New York State HFA. If issued, the proceeds of the prepayment shelf COBs are expected to provide construction and permanent financing for the new construction or acquisition and rehabilitation of certain developments listed in Attachment 13, in addition to any other new developments, which at the time of issuance have been approved by the board and which will all meet the low-income set-aside requirement to issue private activity tax-exempt bonds, 2020 Series C bonds. It is anticipated that the proceeds of the 2020 Series C bonds will be issued to refund the 2009 Series L1, 2010 Series D1A, and 2010 Series F bonds to generate interest rate savings in the open resolution. More detail on the development, as well as the bond underwriters, risk, fees, and credit ratings associated with the bonds are outlined in your memo. Unless there are any questions, Susanna will provide the authorizing resolution.
Please proceed.
Madam Chairman, I'm required by the Conflict of Interest Board to make a couple of disclosures, but then I have two minor questions. Madam Chairman, and for the record, members of my firm, but not I, represent from time to time Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citibank.
Thank you. Duly noted.
The two questions. You said there would be a new agreement involving the Mitchell-Lama project. Do you remember that? Why?
It's unamended or new, just to restate the current purchase and sale agreement.
It'll reflect the change because we're modifying.
Is it substantive?
No.
Oh, okay. Second, can you tell me whether in any of these instances the projects contemplated have been the subject of referral to the local community boards? You're going to hear that as long as I'm on this board.
They have not been presented to the community boards. Yes, they have.
And I would hope they would continue to be, and I thank you for that. Madam Chairman, I thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions?
Thank you. The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the open resolution, the issuance of the bonds, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are requested to approve the making of 7 subordinate loans from proceeds of the 2019 Series J bonds and or the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not expected to exceed $137,075,000, and the use of such amount of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to fund a portion of the senior loans for these 7 developments. The members are requested to approve the origination of a taxable construction loan in an amount not to exceed $10 million for the Jamaica Crossing Mid-Rise development and a participation agreement with the financing institution acquiring a 100% participation interest in the loan. The members are requested to approve the origination of 2 taxable construction loans, one in an amount not to exceed $67,980,000 for the Jamaica 2 development, and one in an amount not to exceed $261,965,000 for the Hunters Point South F&G development. Participation agreements with the respective financing institutions acquiring a 100% participation interest in each taxable construction loan, and the subsequent repurchase from each financing institution of the 100% participation interest in each loan with the corporation's unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution. The members are requested to approve the making of loans for 1 Mitchell-Lama Reinvestment Program development, 1 Preservation development, and 1 NYCHA Pact development in an amount not to exceed $178,710,000 from proceeds of the 2019 Series K bonds and or available funds of the open resolution or its unrestricted reserves. And for all of the authorizations requested above, the members are requested to approve the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish such financings.
Thank you, Susanna. Do I have a motion to?
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. As President Endelin mentioned earlier, item 7 on the agenda will no longer be presented at this meeting. It will be presented at our next board meeting. For the next item on the agenda, I'd like to call on Malcolm McGregor to present for approval of a loan for Bridgeview 3.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to provide funds in the amount not to exceed $15 million to make a loan to stabilize the development known as Bridgeview 3, 171-unit Mitchell-Lama property in the Astoria section of Queens, which is currently in the corporation's portfolio. Bridgeview 3 was previously financed with a senior HDC mortgage loan and subordinate loan from the New York City's Department of Housing, Preservation, and Development, HPD. The senior loan was fully satisfied in November 2017. The corporation holds 100% participation interest in the subordinate loan as part of HDC's Michelano Preservation Program approved by the members in 2004 and 2005. The loan has an outstanding balance of approximately $14.5 million. Redrew 3 Housing Company is not currently making debt service payments on this loan. In 2015, the owners of Bridgeview 3 Housing Company engaged a consultant and issued a request for proposals to solicit a new owner. A transaction to transfer ownership and management of the property, as well as refinancing of mortgage debt, has not proceeded because of ongoing litigation bought by an individual with reported economic interest in the housing company. Consequently, Bridgeview 3 has continued to fall into an increasing state of disrepair and has been unable to pay its bills, including debt service on its existing loan. Additionally, the building needs repairs to stabilize the property, including repairs to the facade, new boiler, new windows, and new elevators. HPD may seek to invoke its statutory regulatory authority to take over operations of Bridgeview 3's housing company because of the property's failing physical condition and non-payment of its mortgage debt. Funds from the additional HDC loan will help restore this project to physical and financial health and satisfy payables. Additionally, it's expected that HDC and the housing company, acting through HPD's authority, will enter into a regulatory agreement that will maintain future affordability at Bridgeview 3. For more information on Bridgeview 3 development, please see Attachment 1. The members are requested to approve the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves to originate one or more loans and or fund an existing loan in the amount not to exceed $15 million for Bridgeview 3 development and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish such financings. Are there any questions?
Any questions from the board? Do I have a motion to approve a loan for Bridgeview 3? Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is a presentation for approval of the fiscal year 2020 operating budget. I'd like to call on Kathy Bowman to make this presentation.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present the corporation's proposed fiscal year 2020 operating budget for the members' approval. As the main financing partner behind the Mayor's Housing New York plan, HCC continues to expand on its history of production and financial success. The corporation ended fiscal year 2019 with an excess of revenues over expenses on a cash basis of $131.29 million, an increase of $18.68 million over the budgeted amount of $112.6 million. This improvement was largely due to higher than expected investment income, servicing fees and fees received on loan originations and refinancings, as well as better than expected performance in the open resolution. Fiscal year 2020 revenues are budgeted to be $153.16 million, a $7 million or 4.77% increase from the fiscal year 2019 adopted budget. The projected increase is mainly due to an increase in investment earnings due to more funds under management and an increase in the open resolution surplus due to an increase in issuance. Fiscal year 2020 expenses are budgeted to be $34.41 million. This is an $820,000 or 2.44% increase from the fiscal year 2019 adopted budget. The increase from the fiscal year 2019 budgeted amounts revolves around certain budget lines increasing or decreasing from last year. The fiscal year 2020 budget reflects a growing organization that is undergoing noteworthy changes as a result of its past successes. Two major changes are rippling throughout the corporation that are generating optimism for the future of New York City and HDC's mission. First, as HDC has continuously grown as one of the nation's leading multifamily housing finance agencies, HDC will, as you have heard today, use its lending strength, talented staff, and reputation to assist NYCHA to help preserve and finance the rehabilitation of housing developments in their portfolio. As a result of this initiative, HDC has created a new public housing finance unit within its development department to lead this undertaking. In addition to this unit, HDC will also dedicate current staff throughout the corporation to arrange financing, asset manage, and ensure compliance. The second initiative of the corporation is related to information technology. As reported last year's November meeting, an IT assessment of the corporation was completed mid-year of 2018. A detailed report was issued by an external consultant with recommendations and a roadmap for the next 3 to 5 years. The 2020 budget contains funds needed for some of those recommendations, which include strengthening the staff, migrating to the cloud, strengthening the cybersecurity program, and re-engineering business processes to be more efficient through technology. And finally, the 2020 budget includes funds for HDC's involvement in the new Partners in Preservation program as part of the city's affordable housing plan. As reported at last November's meeting, HDC is working in partnership with HPD and Enterprise Community Partners on the implementation of this program, which will fund community-based organizations to develop and coordinate anti-displacement strategies with local stakeholders, tenants, and government partners in select New York City neighborhoods. The goals of this pilot program are to preserve affordable housing in targeted neighborhoods, prevent the loss of rent-regulated apartments, and proactively protect tenants from landlord harassment and displacement. The corporation will pay for these consulting services over an 18-month period and thus will also budget funds for this line item in the 2021 budget as well. The notes in Schedule A to the budget memo containing your packages provide more details for each revenue expense item. If there are no questions, the members are being asked to approve the corporation's fiscal year 2020 operating budget.
Chairman,
please proceed.
I think this board owes a debt of gratitude, as do the people of the City of New York, to the leadership and staff of this agency for a perfectly superb job that they have done in the past year and previously.
Absolutely, and I second that, and I congratulate the staff and Eric on all the great work they've done.
It's a very strong team.
Do I have a motion then to approve the 20? Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Our next presentation is from Rich Froelich. It is a presentation of the property disposition report.
Yes, this is the most boring part of the meeting. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the property disposition guidelines in your packets. Pursuant to the Public Authorities Accountability Act of 2005, each public authority is required to adopt comprehensive guidelines in connection with the disposition of property owned by each authority, and we approve such guidelines on an annual basis. The guidelines have not changed since originally approved by the members in fiscal year 2008. Also, the corporation does not currently own any real property, thank you, nor did it dispose of any in the prior year, as noted in the annual property disposition report in your packages. Motion.
Any opposed? All in favor? Motion carried. At this time, barring any other issues, questions, I would like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HDC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Our final item on the agenda is other business. Do any other members of the board have any issues, other business to present? Hearing none, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
We have an operating budget.
Oh, did we not say the operating budget?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we did.
We're good.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Meeting adjourned.